I want to read with you tonight what's possibly a very well-known portion of the Bible. We're going to think tonight on Psalm 23. Psalm 23. In Psalm 23, the speaker is David, and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his word. It would be true to say that both first words and last words are of great importance. If someone comes to the end of their life, very often their family and friends gather round to catch their last words. On a happier note, sometimes first words are very important. If you're a parent, then you'll know what it is to wait expectantly for the first words that your child says. Well, we've read tonight of a man, David, and we've read of the first words that he speaks in this psalm, and we've read of his last words, his final words. He starts off by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." He is a man, dear friends, who has a real sense of belonging. A real sense of belonging. You know, in this strange, crazy, mixed up, upside down world of ours, oftentimes I meet people and they often say, "You know, I don't feel that I belong in the place where I work. Somehow I don't feel I belong. The other fellows or the other girls in the office, they talk amongst themselves and they leave me out." I've heard people saying that even in their own family, somehow or other, they feel different. That they don't belong. They don't belong. A lostness. A lostness about them. But you know, that's not true with this man tonight, David. He has a real sense of belonging because he says, "I know," he says, "that God is my shepherd." His first words are about God. He starts off speaking about God. He doesn't start off speaking about everyday things. He doesn't start off speaking about natural things. He's not talking about the physical world, the natural world. His whole thoughts are about God, are about God. And he has a confident assertion here. "The Lord," he says, "is my shepherd." A confident assertion. You'll notice there's no ifs or buts or maybes about it. Here is an absolute certainty. This man knows God intimately. He knows him for himself. You see, God is not remote. God is not a remote being. Some people often wonder, does God know what's going on? Does God care? Does God understand? Is God really interested in little me? Well, my dear friends, yes, God does know. God does care. God does understand, and God is interested in you tonight as a person, as a real person, a real man, or a real woman. I wonder, do you know God? God is very personal. You see, the psalmist isn't talking about a supreme being. Many people talk about God as a supreme being. But God is far more than a supreme being. God wants you tonight. He wants to get to know you. He wants to help you. He wants to draw close to you. He wants to save you from your sins. God is here tonight in this very meeting. God is in this room tonight. God is now here. And it's because of the presence of the real, great, almighty, eternal God that gives this meeting any sense or purpose. God is now here. You see, I knew of a little boy who used to go to Sunday school. This little boy's father was a professed atheist. And he decided while the little boy was at Sunday school that he would write a notice and put it up on the wall so that when the wee fellow came in, he would see it. And he wrote, "God is nowhere. God is nowhere." And when the little boy came in from Sunday school, he saw the sign on the wall as he came in. And he said, "Oh, Dad," he says, "God is now here." You see? And you know, that got to that atheistic man's heart. God spoke to him in that statement of the little boy. And that man broke down and realized that day that God did love him, that God did know and God did care. And with that simple little message that the little boy gave, "God is now here, Daddy," he said, that man gave his heart and life over to God and to Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Can you say, "The Lord is my shepherd"? A shepherd. You see, the Lord Jesus took the title of a shepherd when he was here. "I am the good shepherd," he said one day. That's quite remarkable. You know, if you want to change the world, then you wouldn't become a shepherd, would you? You'd perhaps become a politician, maybe, if you wanted to try and change the world. But my friends, here is a shepherd. Here is a shepherd who has changed the world forever. And he can change you tonight. He can change your heart. He can change your life. He can change your circumstances. A shepherd. A shepherd. I knew a family and there were a number of boys in it, and one boy became a shepherd. Another brother became a lawyer. Quite a contrast. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," and he wants to be your shepherd. Now, in this, as I said, in this crazy mixed up world, in this frightening world, in this ever fast changing world, you need a friend, don't you? Jesus, when he was here, it said he was the friend of sinners, the friend of sinners. You need a friend to guide you through the stormy waters of life. You need a Savior tonight. The Lord, this man is saying, "He's my friend. He's my shepherd. He's my guide." I want to tell you that, you know, after September the 11th, they said the world would never be the same again. Well, the world has fallen back into its old sinful ways since September the 11th, hasn't it? But my dear friends, I want to tell you tonight that since Calvary, the world has never been the same. And if you come in spirit to Calvary, where this shepherd shed his blood and died for you, then for you, the world will never be the same again, because you'll never be the same again. You'll be changed. You'll be changed. But if God is a shepherd, then we must be sheep. And that's exactly what the Bible says. The Bible tells us, my dear friends, that all we like sheep, we have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his or her own way. And that's very true. Maybe you're trying to find your way in this world. Maybe you're here tonight and you're really looking for something. You're looking for contentment. You're looking for happiness. You're looking for security. You're looking for something you can hold on to. You're looking for a rock for your feet. You're looking for a light for your path. Is that right? Would you like your life to be changed? Ah, it was a great day when the shepherd found this man David. And you know, it's a great day in any man or woman's life when the shepherd finds them. When the shepherd finds them. He says here, I shall never want. What was it he wasn't wanting for? Well, you know, whatever you need is tonight, and maybe there's someone here and you're in need of good health, better health. It must be terrible to lose your health. Maybe you're in need of work, and it's terrible to have no work. Maybe you're in need of an income, but that's not what this man's talking about. He's talking about his spiritual need. His spiritual need. I will not want. You've heard the slogan, war on want. Your greatest need tonight, my dear friends, is the need of a shepherd. Your greatest need is the need to get right with God. Your greatest need is to come to Calvary and find there this shepherd who died on the cross at Calvary to change your life and to save you from your sins. Our greatest need is a spiritual need. You see, there's a gap. There's a gap in the human heart that's God-shaped. And only God can fill that gap in your life. Only God can fill the need that you feel deep down. Only He can do it. Maybe you've tried 1,001 things. Maybe you've tried this world and all that it's got to offer. And you've been left with an empty, sinking feeling. You've been left with a feeling there must be more to life than this. There is more. There is more. And only Jesus Christ can offer you the very thing that you're looking for, the thing that you most desperately need. Salvation from your sins, to be changed. God wants to change you tonight, to change your life, to change your circumstances, to change you. He wants to come in and bless you. Says this man, the shepherd makes me to lie down in green pastures. He's leading me in green pastures. He's found the answer to life and to living. This man is now completely content because he's found in Jesus Christ everything that his soul and that his heart is looking for. You see, there's two great forces in the world. There's God and there's the devil. If you're not saved tonight, if you're not converted, then you're following the devil. You may not realize it, but that's the truth of the matter. And you see, at the end of this meeting, I'm going to ask you to make a choice. And it's a choice between God and the devil. A choice between what God wants and has provided, or to continue in the path that the devil wants. God and Satan, two great leaders, two great kingdoms. Everyone who's not converted is in the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness. And many are caught up in the kingdom of darkness tonight. There are many caught up in the occult. There are many that are dabbling with Ouija boards. There are others and they're caught up in the kingdom of darkness, and for them, it's the abuse of alcohol. The booze culture is posing terrific problems for the government at this time, isn't it? Many folks are caught up in the booze culture. Many are caught up in drugs. The use and the abuse, the distribution of illicit, illegal drugs. That's, you see, the devil is leading. He's leading this world. He's leading you. He's got you in his grip. That's what's wrong, friends. That's what's wrong. You're on the downward path. You're following the devil. But tonight, Jesus Christ is calling you. He's calling you by name. He's calling you by His Holy Spirit tonight to yield to Him in order that He might become your shepherd and your Savior and your friend. Yes, God is supreme. God is supreme. Oh, there are many. I talked about earlier the man who was the atheist and the little boy. I remember my father used to tell us that when he was young, and that's the way 80 years ago, there used to be atheists who would hire halls up and down the country. And they would give great orations about the fact that there was no God, and no heaven, and no hell. There was only this life and all the rest of it. And after one such well-known atheist gave his oration, he said, "Has anybody got any questions?" And there was a little old lady sitting down at the front. And she said, "Sir," she said, "I'd like to say something." He says, "Go on, lady." She says, "I don't have your education. I can't talk like you," she says. "I've been a widow for many, many years. I was widowed," she says, "when my family were young." She had quite a big family. Lost her husband. And these days, there was little help for widows. She says, "In all these years," she says, "God help me. I never wanted for anything." The psalmist was saying, "I shall not want." "I never wanted for anything." She says, "Amazingly, God provided for me and my boys and girls. We always had food on the table. We always had just enough to see us by." She says, "You say there's no God." She says, "Was it the devil that helped me? Did the devil put food on my table? Did the devil see us through?" And she sat down. And everyone waited for the reply. But the atheist left his podium and he just walked out the hall and away. You see, the devil tells us lies. God is greater than the devil. You see, there are those who imagine that there's a kind of tug of war going on in this world between good and evil. Plenty of people imagine that some days God wins it and some days the devil wins it. That's not the teaching of the Bible. No, there's no great tug of war going on between good and evil, between God and the devil, because God is supreme. God is the moral governor of His own universe. God has never abdicated. And at Calvary, God proved He gave the death blow to the devil and to Satan and to the kingdom of darkness. And tonight, there's freedom. There's freedom for you, if you'll have it. Someone says, "What about all the other religions? What about all the other religions?" You've never heard Mohammedans sing, "Now none but Mohammed can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Mount Mohammed found in thee." You've never heard any Mohammed singing that, because they can't. Mohammed has no real power. You've never heard them singing, "Mohammed, the sweetest name on earth. Mohammed, joy of man's desiring." Have you? Of course you haven't. You've never heard the Buddha singing, "O Buddha, lover of my soul, bid me to thy bosom fly." Have you? No, of course you haven't. Of course you haven't. No. God loves you. God loves you. He sent His Son, my friends, to die on the cross for you. Jesus the Shepherd. He's looking for you tonight. He's searching for you. The psalmist, he speaks here of, in verse 3, he speaks of, "He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness You see, you have a soul. You have a soul, my dear friends, that will live on when you die. The real you will live on. They'll bury your body in the grave, but you will live on. Now, this world, the Bible tells us, one day is coming to an end. God is going to wrap up this old world like a garment, and He's going to make new heavens and a new earth. This world is doomed. This world will die. This world will disappear. You'll never disappear. You are greater than the world in which you live. Isn't that amazing? Because you have the stamp of the eternal upon your soul. And that's why you get the feelings that you get that animals don't get. Mm-hmm. And God is wanting you. God is wanting you tonight. You've got a wayward heart. And that heart needs to be cleansed and can only be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that cleanses from every sin. Oh, don't you think that you're too bad ever to be saved. You're not. There's no one too bad. There's no one has sunk too low that Christ can't rescue them and lift them and help them and save them. Mm-hmm. He's talking here about the valley of death. The valley of death. And you know, death one day will claim you as it will claim me. But you see, the message of the gospel is this. That Jesus Christ has conquered death. Death, the king of terrors and the terror of kings. But the message of the gospel tells us that Jesus Christ, He went down into death. He explored the caverns of death. Jesus Christ has bankrupted death. And He has risen from the dead. Yes? The message of the gospel tonight is this. Jesus Christ is risen. Christ is risen. And He rose from the dead to prove that He was greater than man's greatest enemy. Jesus Christ is living. He's alive. He's alive in heaven tonight. But you know, dear friends, He's alive in the hearts and in the lives of dozens and hundreds and millions of men and women around our world. There are those in this building tonight who know that Jesus Christ is living in their heart and in their life. Do you know that? Do you know? Would you like to know that? Yes, He has conquered. He has conquered death. Says the psalmist here, I will fear no evil. I'm not afraid, he says. Now, we all know what fear is. We all know what fear is. Many people live their lives in fear of something bad happening to them. Many are afraid that their partners will leave them. Many tonight are afraid that their jobs will disappear. Look at all these poor folks that through the bank's failure will possibly lose their jobs. What do you fear? What do you fear? Do you fear God? That's what I want to know. That's my question. Do you fear God? You know, when Jesus died on the cross, there were another two thieves died on either side. And one of them asked his pal, his mate, this very question. He says, do you not fear God? Because, my dear friends, the fear of God has left our nation. Our nation has long since left the moorings of spiritual outlook. And we're sinking in the deep mire. Morally and spiritually, we're sinking. These days are as dark as I can ever remember. They're getting worse. They're getting worse. Do you fear God more than anything else? If you really feared God, if you really feared God, you'd get converted. If you really feared God, yes, you'd want to get saved. Talking about the valley of the shadow of death, where are the dead? Where are the dead? Go to the cemetery. Where are all these people that have died? Their bodies are in the grave. But they, my dear friends, the real person, they're either in heaven or they're in hell. What decided? They decided. They made the conscious decision. I will trust in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Or else they took their chance. I've had folks say to me, oh, I'll take my chance. Chance! My dear friends, salvation has nothing to do with chance. It's not a game of chance. Life's not a game of bingo. No, there's nothing to do with chance. You have to make a conscious decision to accept the salvation that God is graciously offering to you, or to reject it. To reject it. I mentioned atheists earlier. One of the greatest atheists that ever lived was a man called Ingersoll. Talk about last words. As Ingersoll lay dying, his devotees were gathered around, waiting for his last words. They looked up. They said this: I see no light. All is dark. He went out to meet God in unbelief and in the darkness. Oh, don't you believe the atheists for one minute. Don't you believe them. Oh, when everything in the garden's lovely, it's quite easy for them to say there's no God. Precious little atheists in the trenches, when the bombs are falling, when the bullets are whizzing past their ears. Precious few atheists then, I tell you. And when faced with death, their arguments seem to evaporate. Yes, it's either heaven or hell. And you have to make the choice, my dear friend. You see, it's not easy to make the choice. I know that. You're saying to me, oh, it's not easy for me. No, I know it's not easy. And this man knew it wasn't easy, because he says that you and I, listen now, you and I have three major enemies. And they're here. There's the world. Society at large is not God-fearing. No. The world beckons. But what happens when you get to the end of the road? The flesh, that is your own self. Self deceives us. Self deceives us. Because you see, our thinking is all wrong. Our thinking's all wrong. And the third enemy is the devil, Satan. Society, the world around. Our own selves and what we naturally think. And then Satan. Now listen to this, will you? The Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. He's described as the prince of the power of the air. Now, he lives in the atmosphere just above us, right? He's a spiritual being, and he lives in the atmosphere, the air, just above us. And Satan is bearing down. He's bringing his powers to bear down on humanity, on society, on you and on me. And that's why he's so successful. He's right above us, and he's bringing to bear on the minds of men and women his false doctrines, his hellish doctrines. That's why he's so successful. He can penetrate the minds of men and women because he's directly above us. And he has influenced this world. And he's influenced you up until now. He has. You know, he speaks here about being anointed with oil. Thou anointest my head with oil. And oil in the Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit. Speaks of the Holy Spirit. behind my voice tonight, the Holy Spirit is speaking to someone in this meeting. Now you know who it is, you know if it's you. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. No man can get converted, or woman, unless they come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And unless the Holy Spirit convicts you, you'll never be saved. You hear the voice of the Holy Spirit tonight? Have you heard the voice of the Holy Spirit in past nights? You know what you should do, but you lack the moral courage to do it. The Bible says, God says, my Spirit will not always strive with man. You see, strive, yes. There's a fight going on in your heart, isn't there? There's a fight going on between God and the devil. There's two people bidding for your soul tonight, my friend. Two great bidders for the human soul. There's Satan and there's Christ. The devil's in this meeting tonight as well as God's Holy Spirit. The devil's here. The devil's telling you to put this off. The devil held the most privileged position of any being in the universe many years ago, and he abused it. He did. He lost that superior, supreme position through pride and ambition. The devil said he wanted to be as God. He says, I'll exalt myself. Pride and ambition are the two things that ruin the souls of men and women and will ruin your soul. The devil is called a liar and a deceiver. That's what he does. He lies and he deceives. The devil, now listen to this, the devil entered the Garden of Eden right at the beginning and he smashed to smithereens the first marriage between Adam and Eve. And he's been doing that ever since. And this present society, he's smashing more marriages and relationships than he's ever done in the world's history. Am I right or am I wrong? This is what the devil's doing. The Bible tells us that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. He's bidding for your soul tonight. He's bidding for your soul. Ah, but there's another bidder. And it's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. He has existed in the form of God from way, way before the beginning of time. At Bethlehem, he came down and became a real man, sinless and perfect. At Calvary, Jesus Christ died not only for the sins of the world, my friend, he died for your sin. He died for your sin and mine. And as I said earlier, he triumphantly rose from the dead, and Jesus Christ is coming back to take from this world all those that love him. Unlike the devil, Jesus Christ welcomes investigation. He has nothing to hide. You and I have plenty to hide because we're sinners. Jesus Christ has nothing to hide. Christ is love. Jesus is God with a face. God with a human body. And he loves you and he wants you. As I said, the devil is interested in your soul. But he's not interested in your happiness. The happiness that the devil offers you tonight is a happiness that doesn't last. It's only for a season, says the Bible. And when sin is finished, you see it doesn't last, it brings forth death. But Jesus Christ is offering you tonight. He's offering you life. Real life. Life with a capital L. Life eternal. Life eternal. It's your choice. It's your choice tonight. Oh, it always comes to a choice. It's always this is your hour of decision. This is your hour of decision. You might never get another occasion like this. Might never get another opportunity. This man finishes. His last words are like his first words. His last words are on a spiritual plane. Surely goodness and mercy, he says, will follow me all the days of my life. And then ultimately, here's the finale. Here's the grand finale. The great finish. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All the days of my life and all the days of his death. I, the person, this is personal, will dwell, there's the position, in the house of the Lord. That's heaven, there's the place. Forever. That's the permanence of it. Permanence. My friend, where will you spend eternity when life's little day is over? Where will you be when life's little day is ended? When you stand on the peak of time and the curtain lifts on eternity, where will you be? You go to heaven with Christ or to hell with the devil? Yes, it's your choice. It's your choice. You can come. You can come tonight to Christ. You only have to come the once. Acknowledge, yes, Lord, I am the sinner that Jesus came to save. Yes, Lord, you died for me on the cross at Calvary to put away my sin, and I'm a sinner. And I need your salvation. Lord, I need it desperately. I want to come. Will you come as we sing the closing hymn? Let this closing hymn be your prayer. 292. It says, just as I am. Because you can't come any other way. You don't put your best foot forward. You don't present a kind of spiritual CV that's going to impress God. God's not impressed with any of us. We don't have anything to offer. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. And if you'd like to come to Christ tonight, then just come as you are. Come as we close the meeting. Come in your heart. Come in your spirit. I'll be at the door to shake you by the hand. If you'd like to know more of this great salvation, then speak to us. We're going to pray and then we'll sing the hymn together. I don't want you to sing it if you're not prepared to come. Don't be singing a lie because you've been living a lie. Don't lie anymore. God knows your heart. You know your heart, don't you? Now before we sing, we'll ask the Lord's blessing. Let us pray together. Our Father, we come now and we are conscious indeed that while we are still in time, eternity is beckoning and it's just round the corner. We ask indeed tonight that the Holy Spirit, in his own unique way, will draw the hearts of men and women to himself tonight. Grant our Father indeed that we might all be able to say, this very night the Lord is my shepherd. We give thanks for the death of the Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross, and we recognize it was for each one of us. Bring us to a real and definite realization of that tonight, and bless us now as we part. Accept us just as we are, poor and weak and needy, as we come now and ask your blessing. In the Savior's precious name. Amen. We'll keep our seats and sing together 292.